Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Happy New Year, 2022. We hope it's a better year ahead than the one many people experienced in the year we leave behind. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn and Sheila Hyland, episode 14. You'll meet Rob Rogers, the political cartoonist who spent three decades at the Post-Gazette here in Pittsburgh, created Brood on Grand Street, but has become a national sensation, and also the artist behind the Yinzer cards and bars. The creation of Smokey Robinson Wines happened right here in Pittsburgh, mainly because Smokey's a part-time Pittsburgher. Did you know that? You'll also hear Jimmy Crenn's continuing effort to audition for a role as The Exorcist in a movie about the demon on Brownsville Road. Plus, Maria Caruso, Bodyography, will teach Jimmy how to dance in our Dirty Dozen episode, and legendary concert promoter Rich Engler tells the story about Axl Rose's birthday party, a Greek orgy in the Steelers locker room. It's all on Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn and Sheila Hyland, episode 14. Enjoy. You're listening to Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland, and we appreciate you tuning in. We want to introduce you to a man who really doesn't need any introduction unless you don't know him.
And we'll give you one anyway.
But I'm pretty sure you know his work, even if you don't know him. Rob Rogers spent three decades as the political cartoonist, the Post-Gazette. He's penned books, I hate to say written books, because it's your artwork, and right. you have to be funny and gifted in the way you present your stuff, and there's such a cool vibe to what you do, Rob, that I know the three of us are big fans. So the great Rob Rogers.
Thank
Rob.
You.
Yes,
thank
Rob,
you, Larry.
Thanks for being here.
Jimmy?
And
Sheila?
May I say, also, a great performer. It was one of those surprise performances way back in the Night of the Singing Dead.
That's right.
With Carl.
I saw that. You guys are fantastic, man.
And Rob, you know, I only knew him as an artist and political cartoonist, but I didn't know you had this singing ability.
Wait, I do, actually. When I was in grad school, I paid my way by singing in bars,
No,
I used to do covers.
Really?
No, I'm not, actually.
You serious? No,
I made a lot of money.
I've known you for what, 15
and then
years
actually,
now?
You two should start a duet, because Jim is singing now.
Jim
I know he is. I'm a little worried about that.
You got to do a song in a band now, me and Larry. And Sheila, we got to bring you in, too.
Yeah, well, I have to play the tambourine.
Okay.
No, but I picked up the guitar when I was in college, and just, you know, I'm not great at the guitar, but I think I have a bit of a voice
was
that
it
I can
folk kind of.
Yeah, yeah, I would do Neil Young and Eagles.
I can see you
and,
doing that.
Yeah.
James Taylor.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're amazing,
Rob. I'd love to hear it, man.
That'd
be so cool. That's a podcast. Who's Rob with the guitar?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We can do that.
Grad school. Did you? Well, you went. You. That's how you got to Pittsburgh. Is coming to school. Right.
Right. Exactly. So this is an interesting story. I forgot about Sheila being in Oklahoma, but I was there for 10 years. My dad got a job at the hospital there, university, and he's a pulmonary physician. And when I moved there, I was in eighth grade. So and I lived there until I graduated college, and then he moved to Pittsburgh with my two brothers and my stepmom, and so I followed him out here to go to CMU to get an MFA in painting. So
What's
thought
an
I
MFA?
Might be a, I thought I might be a real artist.
That's how, you know. That's how dumb I am. You
know, Larry, a master's of
it's
fine
not
arts.
What you think it is?
Oh,
just put it
yeah,
that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah. No, master's of fine arts.
Carnegie Mellon. That's so
that's
prestigious,
big time, man.
Man.
Yeah.
That's the big time.
Yeah, it is.
So
it
they
is.
Recognized your talent early on.
They did. They did. Although, I will say this, that I did apply there as an undergrad, like halfway through my college career, because they moved while I was still in, while I was in college and
right.
and said, oh, there's this great school here in Pittsburgh. You should apply. And I would have lost like a year and a half because I would have had to start out as a freshman. But I thought, all right, I'll try just for my dad, you know. I didn't get in. No, I didn't get in as an undergrad because my stuff wasn't good enough. I mean, that's how tough it was.
Okay.
I came out for a summer to visit them before my senior year, and I took some classes at CMU, so I got to know the professors. And, you know, it's all about who you know, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I went back sort of inspired to do better work, and I did these big 8-foot paintings on Masonite. And then, because I knew them, I got in for graduate school. But I wasn't good enough to get in as an undergrad. So that tells you.
And it's intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then how did you end up in the Post-Gazette?
Well, so all along, even in college and high school, and well, since I was a little kid, I did cartoons. I drew cartoons. So when I got to graduate school, I didn't tell them I was a cartoonist because they sort of looked down on that, you know, and I didn't want them to know. But as I was getting ready for my master's show and I was sort of finalizing everything, I thought, well, you know, I still love cartooning. I want to try it. And so I went to the CMU paper. They had already had, you know, a dozen cartoonists that were doing comic strips and things like that. So they didn't really have room for a political cartoonist. So I went over to the Pitt News. So I was the cartoonist for a semester for the Pitt News, editorial cartoonist. They had a guy doing local stuff for the campus, you know, and then I was doing national stuff. And that's how the Pittsburgh Press at the time,
right?
They saw my stuff in the Pitt News, and they said, give us a call. And so that's how it happened.
And under that umbrella, you created Brood on Grant Street, which
right.
Brood on Grant, which was so popular because you have an incredible way of skewering people with art. Right. And that's such a talent.
Right. And the best part about it is the reason I'm such a big fan of Rob's. It's to me, it's not mean. Mm-hmm. It's just funny. And there's a realness to it, the honesty or whatever makes you laugh, and that's comedy. That's the purest form of comedy.
I still remember when I came on your show on DVE and early on, you know, before I really knew you that well, and you said, man, the way you draw that guy, that Pittsburgh guy that comes into the diner, you know, you were like, that's it, that's him, that's
you
it.
You nail it, man.
That's
I
the
know.
Guy.
That's somebody Jim knows very well.
Yeah, right. Very impressed. Yeah,
yeah.
But captured it, man.
It really resonated. And, of course, you've been published in national publications all along. I remember seeing your stuff in magazines. And as we are, before I even
back
knew
when there
you,
were magazines.
Yeah, remember magazines?
Paper.
And you would say, hey, that guy's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know where you were from, but the fact that you were our guy. I mean, you've been here long enough where you've become a Yinzer.
Yeah, I was born in Philadelphia, lived there till I was 14, and then, like I said,
Oklahoma.
Detour through Oklahoma. Yeah.
I didn't know the Oklahoma part.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know the singing.
So
actually, that's where I picked up the guitar. So I had a lot of friends who did, you know, Willie Nelson and, you know, that kind of stuff. So
when I had a TV show, when I first got to KDKA, Rob was a guest, and, you know, he was famous then, and the producer was Roger Shepard. He
was
in
famous.
You're in the paper.
I was in the paper.
Big time. Yeah, paper. I mean, let's be honest.
Everybody knew Rob Rogers and still does. Yeah.
And my producer was a fan. Roger Shepard was his name, and he was also a drummer in the Spuds.
Oh, yeah, I know the Spuds. Sure, I've been.
And
I've been
he was
a
big fan of yours.
Yeah.
He goes, "Hey, I booked Rob Rogers for the show, and you came on, and Sophie Maslow
was
the mayor." Yes, yeah. And you drew some stuff right there on the set and gave me autograph that I kept it. I have it.
Yeah, they're all like aged.
No. These are all good. The only thing was his sense of humor. He said, "Your mom stopped watching. 50% of your audience is gone."
You missed the joke. The lead in is, we lost 50% of your audience share. Your mom stopped watching.
How do you come up with this stuff? I mean, do your eyes just, are your thoughts, your ideas just come to you like that? Or does it take a while?
Are you going to say like Dylan?
Does it have to grow on Grant Street?
Who knows? Come out of the air.
No, really, because... Because you have the artistic talent, and I'm looking at this Yinzer on a shelf. This is incredible what you've done with these cards, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But to take the humor and combine the two, and then the political skewering that you're able to do, is pretty incredible.
You know, the humor was early. Like when I was a kid, I could look back at my cartoons that I drew as a kid and see that I had a sense of humor and I had some comic timing. Mm-hmm. But then, when I got into college, then they, you know, they asked me if I wanted to be the editorial cartoonist. This was at OSU, was the first school that I went to, Oklahoma State. So, you know, I was like, I don't know how to do political cartoons, but then I learned. You know, you sort of learn as you go. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking when I got to Pittsburgh, I remember the editor said, well, you're going to have to, you know, I'd only been here 2 years at CMU. And so he's like, you got to learn all about Pittsburgh. so that's what I did. But in terms of coming up with jokes, you know, I think it's things that I feel are funny. They don't just come to me. I have to work at it. And like Jimmy will tell you about writing comedy, you know, I have my sketchbook and you can look at my sketchbook. Sometimes it has like, you know, lots of stuff written out that are crossed out and starting over, but oftentimes I can see a visual, I can see sort of what's funny about it, and then when you have people like, you know, like Sophie Maslow, or, you know,
characters.
Or yeah, characters that you can rely on, you can go back to that well again and again, like with Luke Ravenstahl. You know, I made him the 6-year-old boy that would come into the diner and he, you know, he would drink from a juice box, you know, and like that idea came to me because at first I was going to have him drinking a milk carton because he's too young to drink coffee, right? So I had the milk carton sort of sketched in, and then I went to lunch, and I was walking in to get a coffee after lunch, and this woman was coming into the coffee shop. I held the door for her, and I was thinking about the cartoon. I was like, it's not quite right, and she had a kid in a stroller, you know, her son, and she brings him in and says, honey, do you want your juice box now or do you want it later? And I was like, ding. I was like, juice box, that's what he's got to have. And then it became a thing, you know, and everybody loved it.
I love that stuff. And so how this all happened, Sheila, with Jimmy, Rob, and I, Dick, we were doing a spaghetti breakfast fundraiser for the Little Sisters of the Poor. Mm-hmm. Jimmy came. Jack Bogut came, who was my predecessor. He was the guy before the guy I replaced, the late John Cigna. And Dick Roberts says, do you think you could introduce me to Jim Crenn? Like, and I told Dick, I said, he's very hard to approach. But let me try. He thinks he's an exorcist. So I introduced Dick, and he starts talking to us about these Yinzer greeting cards. And I'm thinking of all the harebrained things people have pitched us. We're thinking greeting cards, and then we thought about it because Jim has a wonderful sense of humor and the Yinzer brand, since we're both natives. And so we thought, well, we got to get an artist, and we need somebody who has an iconic look that would be a brand for everything we do in the Yinzer
line.
But
when you couldn't get him, you said, so, hey, what about Rob?
Well, Rob and I were friends for a while, and he always would help me out and do shows. He went on podcasts, and Rob was always just loyal and just no question. Anytime I say, Rob, you help me out, come on, yeah. But we do in front of live audience these shows, and he gets huge laughs, you know, in front of the audience. That to me is a comedian. That's something.
Remember when we did a podcast where I actually showed my cartoons?
Yes, and we were at Bricolage.
And I was like, it was cool. It's a podcast.
Yes. I just tortured him, man. I would call all the time and leave messages on ideas. That's great, Jim, because I always wanted to work with him. And now here we get to, I get to work
that's
with
right.
him.
So we asked Rob, and, you know, so we're the four guys behind the Yinzer brand. So we have the greeting cards, and it's absolutely the latest is Yinzer Elf on a Shelf.
He's watching you.
Santa sent me down here to make sure Yin's kids ain't rooting for Cleveland. Merry Christmas.
So between Jimmy
and
Rob, so fries on everything, a Yinzer cookbook, gum bands, Stellar's their number one, egg noggin that.
Yep.
Rob just
did you ladies see these? These are hot off the press, by the way. Available at your favorite Giant and Eagle Hallmark stores.
And then we got into the chocolate business, too. Yeah,
you got the chocolate bars.
I got Sarah's, chocolate. Last week, Rob, and it didn't last.
It didn't taste as funny as it looks.
Yeah, we want to
save it as the inaugural candy bar, you know, for the next 50 years, but it just didn't make it.
The thing I love about Rob in doing these with us, we do these, Lair, is you get ideas and stuff. We always brainstorm ideas. But I'm intrigued on how Rob will take an idea and he'll, you know, it's most of his original, but he'll edit something.
Right.
Like, I might have an idea, but you'll know how to do a visual where I don't know how to do a visual. Like.
Yeah, so Jimmy came up with the idea of be sure to leave a parking chair for Santa, you know, and... But he didn't visualize it on the roof, and I thought it's got to be on the roof.
That's perfect. Yeah, see, he does it all the time.
I took that idea, and
I'll say something that's too long, and he'll say, "No, you could do this." And it's an editing in his mind. So yeah, it's just a fun.
Yeah,
it's a fun project.
I've had to fix a few of your near rhymes that didn't work.
Yeah, I'm
kidding. It's a process.
Hey, no.
I studied at CCAC when you were at CMU, buddy. Give me a break.
I'm just kidding.
But I want to also recognize, Jim, we always wanted to have a philanthropic attachment to everything we do. So Jim said, hey, what about Animal Friends? You've been with them for over 30 years. So portion of the proceeds go to Animal Friends, and they're on the back of every card, and they've been great partners with us since the beginning. And then we have the Sarah's Candies with Spencer's Voice, which deals with opioid addiction and overdose, which is such an important thing. So we're always trying to connect somewhere in the community. I'm pretty proud of that part, too.
All of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Because if people think Yin's getting rich doing this, and the answer is no.
There's so much Yin's and stuff out there. It's fun to have something where we feel it hits a real chord, real Pittsburgh.
So what's next for Rob Rogers? I know you've been working on some things.
Well, I'm still doing political cartoons every day, and I'm syndicated. If you go to my website, robrogers.com, you can see all the social media places. You can follow me or whatever. But I just got back from D.C. last weekend, where I was presented at the Library of Congress with the Herblock Award, which is a editorial cartoonist award.
That's cool,
for best editorial cartoons of the year.
Wait a minute. Wow, this is awesome. Like an Academy Award for what you do.
Actually, that was my joke. I said it's the Academy Award for editorial cartooning, and I showed like the statue. And then I said, but ours would be much funnier, and it's an exaggerated like cartoon character, you know.
Did they give you an actual look award to hold?
Oh, yeah, there is. It's a big, giant pen nib that's made by Tiffany's. Like,
really?
So it's like, and they give you a case for it. Because
you're so humble, man. I've been carrying that around.
Congratulations.
You
thank
do
you.
What you love day in and day
and
out.
We've, oh, it's a best? Blast. Yeah.
We feel certain that Jimmy at some point will accept an award similar for being a exorcist in this movie.
I'd carry my award around.
A Yinzer exorcist.
Yeah, yeah. We love working with you, Robin. It's just Yinzer.
Oh no,
it's been such a fun project
to work with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you know? Man, I'll tell you, and we're very blessed to be able to do the things that we liked each individually, collectively work together too.
Yeah.
So. Thanks, Rob Rogers. Check him out.
Hey, bud. Thanks.
And check out his website. Check out his work with our Yinzer greeting cards.
Congratulations
and candies and
thank you.
Yinzer foods and shirts and Sheila.
Oh, just happy to see you again, Rob.
Good to see
Keep
you.
Doing what you're doing.
Well, this is episode 10. We're really excited because we've been emanating from 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street near the Birmingham Bridge for the last couple of months. And the proprietors are Bob Bozzelli and Lou Caputo. The reason we wanted to talk to you guys is your extensive experience. You're a lawyer, and your primary focus has been over the years on licensing for alcohol liquor licenses for restaurants and bars, right?
Third generation started with my grandfather.
Right. Yes, that's what I thought. That's right. What I mean. Well, you're a legacy guy.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So Louis Caputo meets Bobby Bozzelli. And Bob is a legendary high finance man, PNC, BNY Mellon, other bank. And then you get together. How do you guys get together and meet Smokey Robinson and create a whole line of wine?
I don't know if I'm legendary, but I will say this. I met Louis through the Italian Scholarship Foundation. We're board members, but I always knew of Lou, his family, the Caputo family, because they're well known in the beverage business, restaurants and bars. Mm-hmm. And when I was working with Smokey Robinson over the years, I ended up working with him as a family office, his manager. We talked about originating a brand for him on a wine business. He wouldn't move forward on it until, you know, a few years of me pushing, and he finally committed. And so I knew Lou at that particular time was in this space, and I needed some help, and we came together. He met Smokey, and we talked about an opportunity of launching a brand of Smokey Robinson Wines.
And how long ago was that?
Ooh, our original conversation was at least 4 years ago. You know, so
it hasn't been that long. But look what you guys have done.
We're still young.
I mean, it's great, and the taste is great.
Keep Bobby young.
He's always looks young. He doesn't change. but you know, the wine, Smokey's wine, is really a great tasting wine. But yeah, the cool thing was, and Bob, was it you came with the idea using song titles or whatever, or parts of song for the names of the wine? Yeah, that's brilliant.
Beautiful.
Well, you know, I can't take all the credit, but you know, we
oh, go ahead, everybody else, you know, does.
Just say it. Take the credit, because I'm going to take it. What's that part?
You know what? He has so many songs, so many things to pick from.
Right.
When we talked, Lou and I talked about having maybe 4 to 5 different wines, mm-hmm, that we felt that, you know, his iconic name with his iconic songs, it really fit well with wine. Wine is really it's a classier type of beverage.
Right.
You know, Smokey has that class about him, and his songs were looked upon. So mm-hmm, we were actually talked about each one of those names on his top 20 songs.
Right.
We went through a process.
They're elegant and smooth,
on ourselves.
Like,
and we knew that certain songs would sound more masculine,
right,
to the wines. And we said it. And
example. Give me a couple. Cruising.
With the Cabernet.
Second that emotion, Cabernet.
Okay. Chardonnay.
Our newest wine, we're just releasing now, the Ooh Baby Baby Rosé.
There you go. All right.
How can you beat that, Larry?
You can't.
That's strong.
I love that, man.
That's really strong. And this is taken off. So you started sourcing it and working out of Pittsburgh.
Right.
But now you've gone nationwide.
Yes, sir.
That's correct. And we engaged with Garrison Hughes, who is another Bloomfielder, Billy Garrison, who I grew up with.
Okay.
And their firm is terrific in this space of advertising and graphics. Mm-hmm. So we sat down with Smokey with them, and they listened to Smokey's thoughts about what his passion and who he is, and they came up with the labels, which we've been getting major praise across the country.
Sure.
From the top folks at Southern to Albertsons, their top folks that love the packaging.
It's a great
taste. So we hit a grand slam on the packaging, guys, to be perfectly honest
100%.
And the nice thing is, where we get the broadcast, this place is developed, I think, in one of the cooler, not just wine bar, I think it's the coolest bar, one of the cool bars in the city. If you haven't tried it yet, everyone, it's on the south side. And the south side, because something gets a bad rep, this part up here, 23rd and Vine, I'm telling you, you do a nice glass of wine. When I walk in here, man, you're transported into like some cool vibe. I'm thinking Napa Valley Cafe I've been to or whatever.
Well, this looks like some of the places we went to in Italy.
Like the back court, like
right,
the backyard. You know, it's cool.
Yeah, so Louis, you're kind of the wine guy by heritage too.
Yes, sir.
Now, did your family make wine also growing up?
Oddly enough, we never made wine.
Really?
We drank wine.
You were smart to buy it.
Instead
of dealing with the stamping of the grapes.
Bobby's
wine. You still make wine, Bob?
Winemaker.
My great-grandfather came here in the 1800s. He was making wine. My grandpap.
From where?
My father's family's from Abruzzi. Castel del Sangro, the club you mentioned, the Castle of Blood, that's the Castel del Sangro.
Lifetime member,
That's a city in Italy, and that's the social club.
Oh.
And then my mother's family came from Calabria, Cosenza.
Do you have the paperwork that Jimmy filled out?
You know what?
Yes, you do.
We did do an audit, and his name did come up because the last name didn't end in a vowel. We thought there was an issue.
There's a guy. So I've told this story about my father-in-law. When I first met him, I wasn't even married to his daughter yet, and he said, "I need you to do that thing you do." I said, "What thing I do?" He goes, "That thing where you talk to people in a group." I go, "MC." He goes, "That's it."
That's
I go, "For what?" And he goes, "The National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame." And I'm like, "But I'm not Italian." He goes, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it."
You were that night. You were.
Right? 33 years sure. later, I'm still doing it. Well, you've been to some of those.
Oh
events.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You inducted me into that.
I know. You were there.
The dinners are great. By the way,
forgot.
I didn't forget. Bobby forgot. I didn't forget.
Did you buy a table?
I did buy a table for years.
The food's amazing.
Still buying tables.
Yeah.
You don't play them.
The only problem is you never serve Italians in a group like that, Italian food.
Correct.
Because all you hear is, this isn't like my sauce, my mother's sauce.
A little more sweeter, it'd be like my mom. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
You're better off serving Chinese food
right.
to that group.
You're right.
Anyway, but the wine, see, what's more basic than wine? People always say, I never got into wine until I met my in-laws. Yeah. I was just a beer guy, you know, typical Pittsburgh
guy. Started at the Last Supper, buddy. It's been around a while.
Right? No.
Very spiritual.
Who made wine at the wedding in Cana?
There you go.
Jesus.
Thank you. Who can argue with that?
So how can you argue, I'm going to have a glass? Now, they never say if it's Chardonnay or a Zinfandel.
Bob Lewin of marketing called it like the miracle wine.
It's,
or something.
It's whatever you want it to be. It's whatever you want it to be.
Yes, that's right.
And I can't imagine. Because, I mean, literally, that was the first miracle.
Yeah.
He went to the wedding. He's 30 years old, living with his parents.
Yes.
He didn't want to go to the wedding, but out of respect for his mother, he went.
Just like we all did.
They got there. They said they're going to run out of wine. He knew it. It was coming. Mm-hmm. And she said, Jesus. And he said,
I got a couple of miracles. There you go.
Well, no. The first thing he said was,
I think it was teed up for him.
No, the first thing he said, it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not my time, mother.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And she gave him the look that we've all got.
When your mother says, that's the time your mom
so even,
picked up a spoon.
Even the Lord
all right,
said,
mom.
All right, mom. That's right. In all Aramaic, right, that's what he said.
Yeah, all right, mom. Mom, make them wine. Well, white or red? Both? Oh, my God. What's better?
So they filled the water in the casks, and then they had the sommelier. What do you call the guy?
Sommelier.
Sommelier. Yep.
That's it.
And he went over, and they said, try it. So he opened it up. He was surprised.
Whoa.
He took a sip. He goes, normally you serve the best wine first, but you save the best for last.
See that?
Now, isn't that a guy you want to get to know better?
Spiritual. I agree. Yes.
Right?
A high priest. He came right in and took over.
But cool. That's the history of the wine.
It goes
right?
back to breaking bread, knowing your family. And it's
summing it up like that, I'm very happy I'm a part of this.
The fundamentals of wine are still the same.
Yeah.
You know,
after all these years.
It's just beauty. They ferment. You add some sulfites maybe to sustain them. Maybe that's the difference, but there's not much difference.
All right, we want to talk about what wines go with what. So we'll call this Yinzer
Sommelier.
Yinzer Sommelier. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and our good friends Bobby Buzzelli, Louis Caputo, episode 10. In
one
Pittsburgh
the
is the zombie capital of the world, Sheila.
Apparently the ghost capital, too. Sounds like there's a lot of ghosts around here.
I am still shocked you were in that haunted house.
Well,
I can't believe you went in there. You're very brave. I never went in after reading that book.
It was the light of day. I wouldn't have done it in the dark.
No, you're a journalist.
But
you went
I'm
for
thinking
it.
We should do a podcast from there.
Oh, don't do
wouldn't
that. To me.
But you know what? Something would happen with the equipment. We'd have technical problems.
I'm too afraid.
How about this? Sheila Hyland does a remote.
Yes, you call in.
I'm here at the haunted house, Demon
God.
On Brownsville Road, and pulling the light switch.
That book just scared me.
It really scared me, too. I was like, can't be real. But
wife loves those horror movies, and it's hard to watch
them. You don't like them?
No, I can't. I'd rather watch something else.
I'm good.
Watch it when I'm alone.
Really?
No way.
I could watch anything but the possession stuff because I grew up Catholic. And I remember watching The Exorcist when I was a kid.
Oh.
I was probably too young to see it, like 15 or 16, whatever. But I remember going home to my grandmother's house, and my grandma's from Poland, you know. So I go, hey, grandma. And I thought, there's no such thing as, like, you know, demons that can possess you, can they? And he goes, oh, yeah, sonny. There's a little girl in the village. What? It can happen?
You just know, some movies don't stand the test of time. The Exorcist has stood the test of time.
Scariest
you can
movie
still
ever.
Watch, yeah, you can still watch it. And, you know,
Linda
Blair's
what?
Head turns around 360.
I, for some reason, I still, to this day, thanks to The Exorcist, I can't eat pea soup.
No, you get right, Larry. That's a good point. Pea soup isn't scary also.
Maybe it's because you just don't like it.
I'm not kidding. I actually met Linda Blair.
No.
Yeah, she came to the television station,
pretty cool.
KDK TV.
Did she float?
And it was around. She was really nice. But it's one of those things in life where she's always going to be that girl from The Exorcist, no matter what she's ever
she
done
She never
since.
Could top
like,
that role. Never
like Marsha Brady.
Right. Yeah, I met Marsha Brady.
Yeah. You're pretty much that.
And they always said she was a real you-know-what because she had an attitude. She thought she was like
really
the best Brady.
The Meryl Streep of Bradys.
She was Marsha.
I mean, it's Marsha.
Yeah.
She was kind of the king.
And then one of the oddest things I ever did in TV with TV people was the harp and fiddle in the Strip District. has every year a crazy St. Patrick's Day party, right?
Right.
They asked me, TV said, we need you to go down. They have a special guest that they're going to introduce. I'm like, who is it? It was the Beaver.
No, wait. Oh.
Jerry Mathers.
You met Jerry Mathers,
oh,
the Beaver.
Not only met Jerry Mathers.
Why are you name dropping like this now on me? I am so jealous. You met the Beaver?
Oh, the Beaver.
You never told me this in all these years?
No,
you've held kept this from me?
It's like a flashback.
Can I do my Beaver impression? I never get to do it.
Go ahead.
Gee, well, you'd be real creepy, you know? Thank you. That's it.
It's really good. Many,
that is good. That's perfect.
Not many people.
Eddie Haskell.
You don't get calls.
Do Eddie?
I could do a little bit of Wally. Heck yeah, Beaver. A little bit of Wally. But Beaver's the main one, though. Gee, well, you could buy you some of your Arabian Nights.
That's pretty good.
And the facial expressions, if only you could see them.
So we go to the strip district.
I'm in awe of you that you met him.
You like the Beef.
I wouldn't be able to speak. It would be like meeting De Niro for me.
And isn't he like 92 now?
Yeah, he's still around. I see his picture. It's like, oh.
I want to meet the Beaver.
So that night, I get up in front of this crowd. This is for the 6 o'clock news then.
I was the
weather guy. And they always send a weather guy to do this. Goofy things back.
Why was the Beaver? St. Patrick's and Beaver? What's the connection?
I guess he's Irish. Mathers, Jerry Mathers.
A little stretch.
Mathers, Irish.
Okay,
I don't know.
Anywhere to get him. Get the
Rick,
Beaver.
Jim.
The Beaver was available.
So I do this big buildup, and I didn't say his name yet. So I saved it. I said, ladies and gentlemen, and the place was packed. I said, the Beaver. And he walks out, Jerry Mathers. It could have been Mick Jagger.
It's bigger than Mick Jagger's the Beaver.
It went absolutely insane for the Beef.
I don't want to name drop on you back. I really don't.
Is this a name drop?
I know the PR person for the Beaver, my friend Marianne. So there.
Marianne Miller.
No, my other friend Marianne. And I'm telling you, Marianne can get, I think we can get the Beaver on the show is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to meet the Beaver so badly. She knows.
Oh.
But I mean, it'll be on the phone. The Beaver, you just don't just meet the Beaver. You don't just walk in on this. You don't walk in the Beaver. You got to go through channels, people.
I've heard that.
You don't just meet them. I mean, Larry, that's what I'm saying. Larry just met the Beaver. Larry walked in and was hanging with the Beaver.
That's like going up to Punxsutawney and meeting Phil.
Which was real cool, too.
And, you know, I had a great, great idea for the Pirates, for Phil, and they just didn't bite. You know, the batter's eye out beyond center field where they have the shrubs that spell out Pirates.
Okay.
Why not? As a promotion, you get the Pennsylvania Lottery because they have the second most famous groundhog, right?
Right.
Gus.
Exactly.
That's it.
Gus.
You know his name.
Yeah, everyone knows Gus.
Here's what you do.
You
get the Pennsylvania Lottery to sponsor this, and you put up a replica of the Gobbler's Knob stump where they pull Phil out every February 2nd. Every time a Pirate hits a home run, Phil comes out of the stump. And he can hold a scratch off.
Oh, my God. That's a brilliant idea. I love that idea.
And it might happen once a year.
I was waiting for that. I was thinking of that joke. But I was waiting for you to do it. And I got to tell you right now, I said we break open a bottle of smoky wine and we flush this idea out, buddy.
Think about it.
We get this down.
It's a good one.
It's a genius idea. Every once in a while, once a month, Larry comes up with a brilliant one.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and our special guests. Legendary concert promoter Rich Engler and Scott Mervis from the Post Gazette.
You know, it's funny having these guys here. I can't the history and all the stuff you guys been through. And I know, you know, talking to both of you, some of the crazy stories, but some of the eccentric personalities that these rock performers have that I've learned too through many of them, just odd, interesting people. You know, they do. Some of them are the partiers that they portray to be. Some aren't. Rich. You talk about Guns N' Roses with Axl and how wild concert was. And Scott has, I'd like to hear who your craziest, most eccentric guy was or girl.
Well, this is totally Rich's domain because he actually has to deal with them. I'm on the other
side. The interview
side,
but still, there's some eccentric.
Side. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, the Guns N' Roses obviously went down in history in Time Magazine or Newsweek as one of the top backstage parties of all time. He was paying, by the way. He came to me early on and said, at lunch table, nobody around. I was having lunch late, and he sat down. He goes, "Hey, Rich, how you doing?" I go, "Great."
Mrs. Axl Rose.
Axl Rose. I go, good, Axel, what's going on with you? He goes, you know, it's my birthday.
You didn't know.
No clue whether it was or it wasn't.
Yeah.
He had a good lead in. Okay. So he goes, what about a party? I said, for you? He goes, of course. He said, how about a Greek orgy? I said, you know, I've never been to a Greek orgy. I said, what's it like? He goes, you know, togas, no clothes underneath, you know, party, games, people in jacuzzis.
Now we have to put a warning on the podcast.
Oh, it's unfiltered.
Oh, it's unfiltered.
Yeah, unfiltered. It's good. Go ahead. We're good. Yeah, we're in.
So I go, okay, I think we can do this. I said, it's going to cost some money. So he reaches in his pocket and hands me like $5,000 cash. He goes, that's $5,000 cash. How's that? I go, that's a good start. I said, he goes, well, how much you think it's going to cost? I go, well, I don't know. I said, you want a great Greek orgy. I'm going to do it upright, and it's going to be fantastic. He goes, let me get my accountant. So he yells over, has the accountant. He goes, give him another $5,000. So the accountant goes, what's going on? Where's this money going? I go, to a Greek orgy later on. So I call all my catering people and runners and every single person that was available. I go, okay, you're going to Rhode Island Road and get those statues that go... So we're going to put that in and have champagne coming out of their mouth. And then, you know, those ones that pee, we're going to have wine coming out of there.
It's a Greek orgy, yeah.
Yeah, so they have to get forklifts to get these statues.
You had experience having done this before.
No,
you knew exactly what to do, where to get the
imagination. You know, I'm pretty good, right? That's a good call. Statues.
I'm pretty quick on my feet.
You are.
That's, okay. That's what I thought. So I sent somebody down to the strip district, and I said, get 20 boxes of grapes. We're going to – and go to Shoren's next door, and we're going to get netting and put it on the ceiling and put the grapes so they hang down so it looks like a vineyard. And then they'll yank that shit down at the end and roll around it. And that's a Greek orgy, I'm thinking. All good.
Yeah, I think so, right?
So
that's good.
So we get it.
Yes.
All going. Somebody went over to Liberty Avenue and got some girls.
There's the orgy.
In the jacuzzi. Yes, you could imagine. And then show was over. Great show. Then it was time for the party. So everybody's in there partying, but no Axel, no band. So all of a sudden we hear, boom, 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 boom. One's coming like this with a bass drum, dressed like a slave, but a Greek slave, and the roadies are coming with palms and fanning Axel, who's being held in a basket. They're bringing him in.
Oh, my God.
They're bringing him in. And then we had a pig on the spit. They had the pig coming next with some more roadies coming in. So it was like,
where was this?
Is this at Three River Stadium?
Oh, at the stadium.
Yeah, so
when
I read.
They came with Metallica.
Right.
Was that in the Steelers locker room?
Well, I don't know who the opening act was on that.
And rain that day?
Yeah,
rain during Metallica
set.
I think Guns N' Roses only played Three Rivers the one time.
Yeah, that was it. So I had talked the Steelers into taking their all their weights out of the weight room, and that's where we
for
had
Greek orgy. They must have loved that.
There was already a jacuzzi, and there was already a cold tub in there, so we had a big head start.
Yeah.
So anyway, once Axel came in, all hell broke loose. It was absolutely bedlam. I didn't want my wife being. I made my wife Cindy sit in the car, and I said, once he's here, I'm going to leave. So.
3 hours later.
No. I stayed for about 20 minutes more, and it was just like getting wild. Oh, and we had a special fog machine ice that only goes up to about here, because when you use dry ice, it doesn't rise. It stays about waist high, which was perfect for this situation. So they're starting to pull the grapes down already. So as the story goes, it was quite a party. After the next day, the next year, and several years after, the Steelers were so upset with me, they could never get rid of the fruit flies in the weight room.
Because
all their juice went down in every crack. God.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.